You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're about 75, 74 games into the season. Not quite at the halfway point, but close enough to bring in Steve Gardner, USA Today, to give us his thoughts on where Major League Baseball is heading with some teams that may have met some expectations, not met some expectations, still have some work to do, and some other news and notes around baseball. On a progressive guest line, how are you, Steve?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tony?
All right, as the baseball mind that you are, help us figure out Mariners-Angels from Sunday. I get that baseball has its sort of its own police. They like to do this kind of thing. But baseball came down hard. 12 people got suspended from this. It was orchestrated from the very beginning. What was your take on that? And does baseball have a problem explaining these unwritten things that they do?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that whenever I write about the unwritten rules in baseball, it gets an awful lot of discussion, and because we really don't know exactly what they should be, what they are, and how it translates onto the field. As you said, this brawl that ensued from the Mariners and the Angels was telegraphed from the beginning, even before the team stepped onto the field, when the Angels for some reason, decided to make a pitching change and make it a bullpen game.
Yeah.
And Andrew Wontz comes out there, and it looks like his only job was to send a message. He did, and started off the brawl. And I think how it escalated, I mean, the tensions were building considerably between these two division rivals. And it just all came out at once. And we saw this was, I think, one of the biggest brawls or massive conflagrations on the field that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. There was a lot of discussion like, hey, you know, these teams are playing each other a lot already. Is that a factor? Is that something baseball needs to consider? Maybe too much familiarity just kind of breeds a little bit of discontent?
In fact, next year when they go to the balanced schedule, there will be fewer division games because every team is going to play every other team. So it takes away from those, you know, 19 meetings, which is what we have right now. So I think that's maybe a positive thing that we might see fewer of these next year because we won't have such familiarity. But yeah, I think that's definitely into play here because of the division rivalries, and you know, when you do something and the other team feels like they have to retaliate, and then once they do, then the other team seems to feel like, well, you didn't do it the right way, then we have to retaliate.
Right.
It's quite a mess.
Yeah, and listen, we see fights in other sports that kind of come through the process of the game. Frustrations build up, and then people lose their cool, and they react to things, and next thing you know, we got to settle everybody down, and then the leagues take, you know, they look at all the, you know, all the information and process who gets suspended or whatnot. But how much was baseball angry at the Angels and Phil Nevin for saying, You had time to sleep on this, and you went into this game with the right purpose of starting something like this?
Yeah, I think, and that's why you saw, you know, MLB come down really hard on them. I mean, we had 12 total players, managers, and coaches, and I think the total of the game suspended for was 47.
Yeah.
Because of this. And I think that's one of those things, you know, both managers, obviously, for not controlling it and keeping it from, you know, escalating as far as it did, a 10-game suspension for a manager, that's pretty heavy. And so with the coaches and everything, they're going to have to stagger those suspensions. So, yeah, I think MLB is definitely sending a message. Jesse Winker is going to be out for 7 games. I think, yeah, this is one of those where, okay, it got out of control. Let's not have this again. And a message, at least to me, seems to be received.
All right, let's get to some of the team's expectations either being met or maybe need to be met a little more. The Yankees, my God, if I hear one more comparison to the 27 Yankees, comparison to the 60-whatever Yankees, this it feels like this is a historic team that we're seeing. I get it. The Yankees are loaded with talent, but 54-20 good? What is going on in New York?
Yeah, I think the clutch hits that they've gotten, the excellent starting pitching, I mean, that to me is the bigger surprise, is just the way that the rotation has fallen in behind Gerrit Cole. We knew he was going to be good, but the step forward that Nestor Cortez has made, Jordan Montgomery, Jameson Taillon, I mean, those guys have really been what's kept the Yankees at this high level for so long. I mean, we kind of knew the bullpen was going to be good, but we didn't know Clay Holmes was going to be this good. So a combination of players taking their game to a new level, and then also, you know, the stars, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, coming in there and doing the job day in, day out, and staying healthy. I think that's really the thing that we've seen the Yankees when they've been derailed in the past. It's because of injuries to Judge and Stanton and everybody else. And this year, you know, knock on wood, Yankees fans, it has not happened yet, and everybody has just been playing at peak level.
Yeah, that's a great point, because this, we've seen loaded Yankee teams in the past. It's kind of what they are, but it feels like everything is just perfectly aligned. And the season Judge is having, and just having gone through arbitration on Friday, this guy seems to be fulfilling all of the promise that we thought he could bring to this team.
Indeed, and even more, too, that Tony, for him to move to center field, I mean, looking at the Yankees roster in the preseason, there was a weak spot there. Who's going to play center field? Can they have somebody, can they survive if Aaron Hicks is out there? What are they going to do in center field? They have to go get somebody? Aaron Judge has moved there and has played a perfectly fine defensive center field, maybe a little bit better than expectations, and in doing that has allowed them to, you know, to mix and match and do things on the fringes, and has solidified their defense. They're a much better defensive team this year than they have been in the past, and that's another big factor as to why they're so successful.
All right, let's get to a team that I thought was going to be very good, but is kind of middle of the pack. They still have time to change it, but I thought they'd be better than this, and that's the White Sox. I thought that they would win this division. They're right in the middle of the pack. Tony La Russa, where is he on the hot seat sort of mode? Because I heard that he's so close with ownership, it's almost non-existent, but at the same time, there's fire Tony chance in Chicago.
Yeah, the fans are upset. They're not happy, obviously, with the record. I mean, yeah, you looked at the AL Central before the season started, and it looked like one team was really trying, and that was the White Sox.
Yeah.
And so now to have them in third place and passed up by the Twins and the Guardians, two teams that were not very good last year, it has to make you wonder what the problem is, because the roster is very talented. They've had some injuries, but other teams have as well. And when you look at it, you know, what's the difference here? You know, what's causing this? I don't think Tony La Russa is helping. Let's just say that much. I mean, some of his decisions have been picked apart. I don't agree with some of those, but yet this team should still be much better than it has been so far this season. And to the extent that they have underachieved, I think you have to put part of the blame on the guy who's in the dugout pulling the strings.
Let's go to the NL West, because the Mets, Buck Showalter has done a magnificent job. But last year, the Mets were in first place, and then they sort of fell apart. Here comes Atlanta. Phillies obviously lost Bryce Harper. Do you think Buck Showalter is enough within the Mets to sort of hold back and play up to and not collapse against hard-charging teams that are coming at them in the division?
I think so. I really do. And the job that, you know, the minus that Tony La Russa has been in the White Sox dugout, I think Buck Showalter has been equally the plus in the New York Mets dugout. I mean, you think about it, this team is down two aces. You know, Max Scherzer presumably coming back this weekend, so that's good. Jacob DeGrom still not yet ready to go on a rehab assignment or anything, but could be back maybe all-star break somewhere around there. And yet they have the best record in the National League right now. And I think Buck Showalter certainly has to get some of the credit there. Of the offseason, you know, the additions of Starling Marte and a lot of the depth that they've had, Eduardo Escobar as well, and in the pitching staff, I think that has certainly been one of the differences in this year's Mets team versus others, you know, where they were kind of afraid to go out and get those extra pieces, and any injuries would cripple the depth for Mets teams of the past. Not so this year. And I think that's why they've been in first place for the majority of the season and look to be, I think, you know, the Braves are a very good team. I think both teams will make it to the playoffs. That's probably a given. But the way that the Mets have looked like front runners, and I think we haven't seen that, you know, since maybe, 2015 or so.
Yeah. One of the teams that's not playing well, that's Oakland, but there's some stories about them possibly moving to Vegas. This is not new, but I saw a story where baseball is going to let them, if they did decide to move, not have to pay a relocation fee. Is that likely to happen? I mean, we get posturing like this all the time with teams who want a deal in the city. I understand that. But is it possible the Oakland A's could move to Las Vegas?
At this point, I can't tell what's real and what's not and what's a smokescreen, because Major League Baseball is helping the A's ownership group do everything it can to, I don't want to say extort, but to get a very good deal from the local officials there and to build a new ballpark or whatever they're going to do. And I think baseball has to have, we've seen this many times in the past, baseball has to have another market. You know, it used to be St. Petersburg. It was Washington for a while. It needs another market to at least have that leverage to be able to say to the localities, you better build a new park, or you better give us these concessions, or else we're going to move. Playing baseball in Las Vegas, to me, it is completely different from playing football, where you only have, you know, 9 home dates or whatever. This is one of those things. They're going to have a dome stadium and so much, you know, got to have land there and everything. I think it's a lot more difficult. Let us put it this way. It's going to be a lot more difficult for the A's to move to Las Vegas than it was to put an expansion hockey team there or move the Raiders. And for that reason, I'm skeptical that that this is going to be, you know, anything we're going to take seriously here in the next year or two.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, you go through all of these teams in baseball, and outside of Montreal moving to Washington, there isn't like a bunch of relocation in the last years. I know they kind of did it way back in the day with Brooklyn and the Braves and all of that, but recently teams don't move. They threaten, like you said. I remember my wife's from St. Petersburg, and before the Rays mm-hmm. got there, she heard it all the time. Giants are coming. This team's coming. She heard it all the time. It doesn't. I live in Nashville. We hear it constantly that a team is coming. But in the end, the trigger doesn't seem to get pulled.
No, and I think the one thing is that baseball desperately, I think Rob Manfred in particular, wants to expand to 32 teams. And if you do that, you know, then you need Nashville to be one of those, you know, or Charlotte or whatever, Portland, you know, you need those cities to step up. And I think those cities would much rather have an expansion team than have an existing team move there. And so that's why, you know, the talk of a franchise relocation just doesn't seem to sit right with me. I think expansion is really what baseball wants to do if it had its druthers.
I agree completely. Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate it. Always good talking to you, my friend. Thanks a lot.
You bet, Tony. Thank you.
You got it. Steve Gardner, USA Today. Fun conversation. He's one of our favorite guests. Just love baseball. I always say that if I get a guest on who loves what they cover, what they talk about, and he's definitely one of them on a progressive guest line. We'll come back, wrap up the hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.